And now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 in Prescott, and 95.5 FM in Cottonwood and Prescott Valley KQNA, it's Talk of the Town. Today is Chino Valley Day. Talk of the Town is sponsored by Cliff Castle Casino, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Barrett Propane, Augie's, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Dirt, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now, live from the studios of KQNA, here's your guest host for today's show, Matt Santos.
Well, thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos on KQNA's Talk of the Town. On behalf of the Chino Valley Chamber of Commerce, we'll be talking public works and upcoming projects and all kinds of fun stuff today with Frank Marbury, our new public works director. We will be right back to talk all things Chino Valley after these words from our sponsors.
Hi, this is Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. When you see one of our trucks rolling down the road in Yavapai County, that's not just a fresh tank of propane. That's the warmth the family will feel this winter. The heat that'll cook their meals, wake them up to hot coffee, and dry the clothes they wear. For three generations, people have associated our name with the comfort provided by clean burning propane. 67 years of touching the lives of families in Yavapai County. You can find out more at BarrettPropane.com. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Are you looking for the perfect place to get all your printing done? Whether it's preserving precious family photos or vinyl graphics for your work truck, A&E Reaper Graphics has you covered as your local one-stop print shop. Having served Northern Arizona for over 15 years, our customer service is unparalleled as we take care of both your personal and professional printing jobs. From brochures to baby shower invites, A&E Reaper Graphics is your one-stop print shop.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you save money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. AutoOwners Insurance, the no-problem people.
Give the team at your locally owned and operated House Chilson Insurance a call today at 445-4600. To find out more, or to get a home, auto, or pet insurance quote, visit housechilson.com.
Arizona Coyotes hockey is live on AM 1130 at 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM, Prescott Valley, Cottonwood, KQNA. Arizona Coyotes hockey is brought to you this season by Moyers Heating and Cooling, Far From Folsom, R.E.D. Plumbing, Bradshaw Family Dental, Hobby State Bank, and Yavapai Plumbing and Heating.
He'll shoot, he scores!
The Arizona Coyotes visit the Dallas Stars live Tuesday afternoon at 5:30 on AM 1130 at 99.9 FM and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQNA.
When someone comes into Prescott Brewing Company and asks which domestic beers we have available, they're usually looking for one of the macro beers that took over the brewing industry after Prohibition. But while those beers are still produced in America, the companies that produce them are no longer American-owned. We offer you a variety of premium domestic beers brewed right here in Prescott, Arizona. How much more domestically made can you get? Made in America and American-owned. Prescott Brewing Company, real beer, real food, real people, and real local.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQNA. Once again, here's your guest host for today's show, Matt Santos.
Well, thanks for tuning in. We are glad that you're joining us for Talk of the Town Chino Valley edition here on KQNA. Talk of the Quad Cities. You can find us at 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM. Also, KQNA.com. But you already know that because you're listening to us right now. We are here today to talk with Frank Marbury, our Chino Valley Public Works Director. We're going to talk about his history, what brought him to Chino Valley, some of the things that has led him on this fine journey to our great little town. We'll get to that in just a couple of minutes, but wanted to remind everybody, one of the most passionate items that people get worked up and concerned about in the town of Chino Valley, of course, is our animal codes, how we treat our animals and how animal I'm even afraid to say owners, custodians. What do we call people who have animals in their homes? I call them owners, but some do not. And the animal code, our ordinance number 17-834, is very, very hot topic for a lot of people. We will be discussing that tomorrow night. So mark your calendars. Tomorrow night, Tuesday, October 17th at 6 p.m. in Council Chambers right there at Town Hall 202 North Highway 89. This is a study session. One of the steps that any amendments to ordinances or new code or amending code goes through is the discussion phase, the study session phase, before it reaches council for voting for either passing or not to pass. So tomorrow night, again, Tuesday, October 17th at 6 p.m., is your chance to hear what those amendments will be, listen to the discussion about it, and possibly having some public comment as well. But show up at 202 North Highway 89, 6 p.m. tomorrow night. But before you do, I cannot stress enough, get educated, possibly reading that amendment and that code before coming in to discuss. It is always a good idea. And you can find a full printout of that at chinoaz.net/agenda center. That is our homepage for our town website, chinoaz.net. And right at the bottom is a list of hotkeys, areas where most people like to go. And one of those is the Agenda Center. So download that agenda, download the full copy of the packet, and get a chance to review that amendments, review the code before tomorrow night's meeting. So check that out. And you can also find links to all of our departments, including Public Works, where you can find contact information for our Public Works Director, Frank Marbury. So thank you, Frank, for joining us. Now, before we plugged in these mics, before we went live on air, I asked you if you had any involvement in that animal code revision, and the answer was
none whatsoever.
And he said that with a smile on his face. Now, very seldom are there council meetings that do not have some item from your department. So in your short time here with the town, we've seen you pretty much at every meeting and presenting it most. How long, when was your first day with the town of Chino Valley?
I've been here about a month. I started just after Labor Day.
All right. So right off the bat, let's just get your impressions on Chino Valley. How much of our town were you familiar with before stepping into your office, and how much is it? How much of your first impressions have been fairly new?
Well, of course, I researched the town when I was applying for the position, but it's a good town, small town feel next to a larger area, so you have a mix of of people and uses,
yeah.
Let's say, somewhat of a rural community, relatively new when you consider nationwide that a town's incorporated in, I believe, 1970, somewhere around there.
71, I believe, or early 70s, yeah. So we have deep roots going back generations into the 1800s and previous, obviously, if you take the native habitat. But as far as settlements, mid-late 1800s, but like you said, the incorporation has only been a couple of decades old into the 70s. So we have a mix of that old, basically the Wild West frontier with some of the ranching families, and then newer residents like myself. I've only been here a little over a dozen years or so. So it is a good mix of the new and the old. And one of the things that the Public Works Department has to wrestle with and has to juggle with is keeping that traditional old feeling with our agricultural ties, yet servicing the growing population. Now, you come to us by way of Kingman. Describe a little bit about your role with the Kingman city, municipality, departments, and things. What was your role there?
For Kingman, I've been there about 7 years prior to this job, and worked as an engineer for the town, one of the assistant city engineers, and we handled the engineering aspects of the public works, water, sewer, streets, drainage, just like the public works here, except for I concentrated on the engineering end rather than adding in the crews and the yeah. and the maintenance features of the public works department
now,
as well.
Kingman, significantly larger than Chino Valley. What did you say? I'm afraid about 30,000 or so population?
Yeah, and then almost that many outside the town limits as well.
Nice. So that ratio, very similar to Chino, where in our town limits, around 10,500, closer to 11,000, but almost that many in the Chino zip code, considered Chino Valley residents, yet living in county like I do. I'm on the west side, so it's the ratio is about the same, but obviously more larger population from the Kingman area. What was Kingman when you arrived, or has it been pretty set at that in the 7 years that you were there?
It's been pretty steady while I've been there, because I arrived in the height of the recession, yeah. When everything crashed. They experienced a large growth in the early 2000s, and I imagine Chino Valley did
yes.
too.
Yeah.
And then everything stagnated around 08
yeah.
to maybe 2012, and it's just now starting to come back. And we're seeing that in Chino Valley, too. You're yeah. seeing some of the old subdivisions start to be resurrected and the growth starting to occur again.
A lot of those vacant homes that we saw empty out in the 08, 09, and 2010 are starting to be filled, like you said. So we're dealing with, as a town, as a department heads like yourself and our elected officials, are starting to deal with, okay, now we're in the we've seen the recovery process. Now we need to start growing, but again, growing with smart growth and not getting too ahead of ourselves and losing that hometown feel that so many people have moved here for. We want to talk about some of those upcoming projects, some of the goals of your department as we go through this hour that we'll be sitting down together. But before we get into that, I want to get a little of your history. Being in a small town like Chino Valley, we like to put not just names and voices to the faces that we read about in the paper or hear or watch present at town council meetings. We like to get a little feel for who these folks are that are going to be shaping our town over the years to come. So what was hometown for you as a kid? Where did you grow up?
I was born and raised in North Alabama in Huntsville.
Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah, military town.
I say Rockets.
And Rocket Town.
Yeah, and the there was a ball team there too, wasn't there? I think they were part of the Oakland A's farm team.
The Huntsville Stars.
Yeah, that back as a kid watching the A's play, we'd see the young up and comers coming up, and they would always have that Huntsville credit to their name.
Yeah, it was big when Canseco was
yeah.
in town.
So. Yeah, he was a big name in the 80s when I was cutting school and going to A's games up the BART train in Oakland. Big family, small family, how many siblings? Or were you the solo?
One of three boys, and somehow my mother survived three boys, all teenagers at the same time.
Where do you fall in line?
I'm the youngest.
Youngest of three. What's the age difference between you guys?
I've got my middle brother is only 13 months older
oh,
than
wow.
me, so we were raised almost like twins.
Yeah,
and then another brother 4 or 5 years older than that.
Yeah,
so
I'm the youngest of six, three boys. Well, four boys. We lost one, but five living. Three of us boys and two sisters, and the two sisters are 3 years apart, and all the boys are 3 years apart. But the youngest of five. Still around, and a lot of people point to the youngest as kind of being spoiled. Did you find that growing up?
A little bit. So I got away with a lot either because I watched my brothers and learned from them, either that or my parents were just tired.
I was going to say, I got away with some. I think it was more of exhaustion than anything else. And you put your, it sounds like you put your engineering gears in full play by observing the dynamics of the family and figuring out what you can get away with. So you were an engineer at a young age, it sounds like, engineering the dynamics of the family a little bit.
Absolutely. Watch and learn, and constantly taking things apart to see how they worked was another engineering trait. So
was that a necessity by having to put your bike back together after your older brothers dismantled it?
Usually.
That's what happened with me, but I never figured out how to get it back together, so I did a lot of walking when I was a kid.
Yeah, a lot of pieces and parts.
Well, I want to find out a little bit more about what brought you to engineering, some of the skill set that you have gained and honed over the years, and how you're going to put that to work within the town of Chino Valley. Again, talk about some of the projects coming up and some of your goals. We'll talk about that and other activities happening in and around Chino Valley on KQ&A Talk of the Quad Cities after these words.
Celebrate rock and roll Halloween weekend at Cliff Castle Casino with Kiss Army, the coolest band in the world. Kiss Army takes the stage Sunday, October 29th at 7 p.m. in the Dragonfly. When it comes to recreating the original Kiss concert experience from the 70s, there can only be one Kiss Army. Don't miss your chance to see the international Kiss tribute phenomenon. Visit CliffCastleCasinoHotel.com for information on all the Halloween fun at Cliff Castle Casino, the perfect place to play.
We're the Gettle Brothers
from Gettle's High Desert Mechanical.
Hey, Ted, it's hunting season.
Yeah, Adam, I know. It's always hunting season. No, I'm talking about people hunting for the right place for heating and air conditioning service.
Well, that's easy. Gettle's High Desert Mechanical.
I get the point.
And we fix and install all makes and models.
And we aims to please.
Oh, brother.
That's me.
Keep your temperature on target with Gettle's High Desert Mechanical. Log on at GettlesHDM.com. Now offering plumbing repair and service. That's GOETTLS.
This is Steve Sishka with Olson's for Healthy Animals. Someone asked me how people would know from our name that we sell a huge variety of food for pets and barnyard animals. I thought for a little bit and said, the food we sell is just part of what we do. And although we have an incredible amount of high-quality pet foods, feed for barnyard animals and the wild birds, the resulting health of your animals is our main reason for being, our mission. That's why we call ourselves Olson's for Healthy Animals. When you walk into Olson's, you should know that you're not just going to get food, but also the company that what you purchase will be healthy for your pet or barnyard buddy. We've been doing this for 38 years in North Central Arizona with our stores in Chino, Prescott, Dewey, Flagstaff, and Clarkdale. We'll also take your purchase out to your vehicle, and we welcome special orders. We're Olson's for Healthy Animals. The health of your animals is our mission. Go to olsonsfamily.com for the location of the Olson's store nearest you.
The friendliest place to dine on Highway 69. The food is so divine.
The Audie's family.
The wait staff is delightful. They're fast and so insightful. You're sure to end the night full.
The Audie's family.
So do yourself a favor. Have dinner with your neighbor. We've got your favorite flavor.
The Audie's family.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your guest host for today's show, Matt Santos.
Hey, that's me. Thanks for sticking around. A quick little reminder, the Chino Valley Fall Fest 2017 is happening on October 21st. That's this Saturday. Hey, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. right there at the Chino Valley Chamber of Commerce grounds. You can find out information at chinovalley.org or give the Chamber a call, 928-636-2493. A lot of family fun. They'll have a petting zoo, food, music, games, a kid zone. You can get your face painted, all kind of fun stuff. How about pumpkin bowling? Want to give that a shot? Wonder if we could We're sitting in Dave Phone's office here. I think he's got a pumpkin on his pantry shelf there next to the peanut butter. Sponsorship booths are available. Again, information is at chinovalley.org. That is Saturday, October 21st, starting at 10 a.m. A lot of fun for the Chino Valley Fall Fest. And don't forget, tomorrow night, the Animal Code Amendment study session at 6 p.m. tomorrow night, October 17th, at Town Hall there, 202 North Highway 89. Show up and be heard. Get involved. They can't hear what you're thinking from your couch. So show on up to the meeting. And you will not hear from our guest, Frank Marbury, the Public Works Director. We were talking about before the break your growing up years in Huntsville, Alabama. What size of town is that, or was it when you were growing up there? Was it considered small town, or did the population swell with the military there?
It was a pretty good town for Alabama. We were maybe the fourth or fifth largest city, about 150,000.
Oh wow!
I think.
So that's a big area. Now
five high schools, I believe.
That is nice size. That's pretty kind of similar to where I grew up, size wise. Over 100,000, several high schools, kind of a metro. I was in a metro suburb area, but when I hear Huntsville, I think of NASA and aerospace. And did that play into you pursuing engineering as a vocation, or was it even on your radar then?
A little bit. Several of my friends, their parents worked out at NASA. I actually have classmates now that I graduated with that are replacing their parents.
Oh, nice.
And working still out at NASA, out at Marshall. And on Redstone Arsenal, the original Redstone rockets is from Huntsville.
What educate me, because other than hearing Huntsville in movies and novels and things, I know very little. I know very little about lots of things. Educate me on what the facility was like. What kind of things were they doing out there?
Well, Huntsville originally started the German scientists that started the nuclear program. Mm-hmm. Many of them wound up in Huntsville. Like I said, started the rocket program with the Redstone rockets, preceded the Atlas rockets, which Atlas put John Glenn in space. Mm-hmm. And I know this because I just watched Hidden Figures on TV. That's the research facilities on the Redstone Arsenal is where a lot of that. And then you also have the NASA Marshall Space Flight Center out there. And about the time I was growing up, you started getting the Space and Rocket Museum, which was a tourist attraction to promote the history of NASA. So every year our field trip in school was to the Marshall Center and the Redstone Arsenal. The Space and Rocket Museum. So I was a little too old to go to space camp, but that started just after my high school years.
Nice. Now, I am not too proud to admit that it hasn't been that many years that I assumed all engineers drove trains. But then later in life, I found that engineering in your aspect takes way too much math for a guy like me to comprehend. As your education, as you advance in your education, why did you choose engineering? It's just for a lazy guy like me, that seems like a whole lot of work. What prompted you to go into that field?
Well, I've always been good with numbers and math and geometry, so that's what had always worked with me. English, I cannot to this day spell, so I'm very thankful for Word and autocorrect. So that's my weakness, but I've always, numbers and math and especially the geometry part of it has always made sense to me. So I'm kind of a natural for the civil engineering.
See, you got a leg up because when you can't spell or count, you end up as a journalist, huh, Bill? Yeah. Where did you go from Huntsville? What was college and first vocations like, first jobs for you?
Okay. So being from Alabama, I had two choices of college. It was either Alabama or Auburn. So I went to Auburn, got a small little scholarship to the engineering program there, and that was one reason that helped me decide on engineering was the money. So went to Auburn for a while, enjoyed the football games and the nightlife, along with some of the schooling and learning that goes along with
just some of the schooling. But I noticed nightlife took the top billing there, it seemed like.
So it was a good school. And then after Auburn, I got a job in a rural county in Alabama working as an assistant county engineer. So that kind of started my public service right from the get-go.
Nice. Now, what kind of projects were you involved with there?
That was actually in Russell County, Alabama, and somewhat related to military as well. It's right across the river from Fort Benning, Georgia. So we were right on the Georgia line, about an hour from Auburn, and it handled everything much as I do now with the road crews. It was the engineering department there was basically the roads, and they had 600 miles of road and only half of them were paved.
Huh.
And a lot of old timber bridges. Down in that area of the state, there was the southern yellow pine was grown almost like a crop. So all the wood trucks carried the pine, and so you had to try and...
The lumber industry was the driving force there, it sounds like.
And the paper mills along the river.
Yeah. Well, we're a mill town, too, I like to tell people. Chino Valley is a mill town, primarily a rumor mill. And one of the ongoing battles for our town officials and leadership is addressing various rumors and concerns of the town, rightly so, because people are concerned about where our money goes, where their tax dollars go, and what we as a town and town leadership does with those dollars, and roads being a large portion of that. We'd gone over a couple of your notes before coming on air. Some of the budget things that you had there. Mm-hmm. What run through for our listeners kind of the breakdown of the budgets that you're involved with and the majority of where that money is spent. Again, roads being a big chunk of what comes to mind when people start thinking of our infrastructure, because we all drive on them. And again, like you had mentioned with your previous county employment, a lot of our roads also are unpaved. They're rougher. What do you oversee as far as budgets for our roads?
Well, just for the roads?
Yeah, start there, because that's a biggie.
Okay, yeah, for the roads in Chino Valley, which is kind of going back to the Kingman comparison. Uh-huh. Kingman has three times the population, but we actually are pretty close on the miles of roads we have.
Really?
So, yeah, Chino Valley's more spread out than a normal town. So we've got a lot of large acreage lots. You know, a lot of people live on 2 to 5 acres.
Uh-huh.
So to connect those with roads, you wind up with more miles of roads. So it's a little harder to maintain because your tax base has to support more miles of roads. So our road budget right now is about $1 million, and about half of that goes to the actual maintenance of the road, and the other half goes to the managing the people and the and the salaries and
the crews
and the equipment and things.
So all the heavy equipment and the various machinery that keeps that going is also included in that.
Right.
How far, can you break it down? I don't know if you have that. I'm throwing this at you, so you can kill my mic if it doesn't apply. Can you give us a figure on road surface as opposed to dollars for, say, laying a new road?
Yeah, we've got some numbers, and we're actually working on this, so it's a little bit of a work in progress. Don't hold me to the mileages, but we've got about 150 miles of roads in Chino Valley. We're looking at about 30 miles of those is what I would call real paved roads.
Uh-huh.
Then we've got another 80 miles that I would call chip seal, as opposed to smooth asphalt.
Yeah.
It's the layers of rock and tar that are just kind of laid down. So it's pretty much a pavement, but it's a little bit rougher than a normal
pavement. It's more to keep the erosion down than to actually have a permanent sealed road.
Yeah, an engineer would tell you it's a surface treatment instead of a full-blown pavement. But if you're driving over it, it's just a rough road.
And you say that's about 80 miles?
About 80 miles of those, about over half of them are chip seal roads. And you find that in a rural-type setting all over the country. That's the norm. And then we've got maybe 35 or so miles of dirt roads.
Yeah. So just over what we have in actual pavement. You said pavement's about 30, and 35-ish or so.
Yeah, something like that.
What's the what are some of the factors, and not addressing any road specific, because if you want to talk about your specific road, you can come to our council meetings and jump on that call to the public and let our fine mayor and council know which roads are important to you. But a generic question to you, Frank. What goes into consideration when taking our limited funds, which is always a concern, and then trying to apply that money into either new pavement or maintenance or resurfacing a road? What kind of factors does town leadership take into consideration to choose, we're going to do this road, we're not going to be able to do this one, or this one's going to be scheduled for 5 years from now? What kind of things do you take into consideration?
Well, can I start in on my pavement maintenance speech now?
Yeah.
My normal spiel on this is, and I actually did this for 10 years in Colorado running a pavement management system. You've got your good roads, which are the pristine looking smooth roads, then you've got your fair roads, and then you've got your beat up failing roads.
Yeah.
It's pennies on the dollars to keep those good roads good. So when you run a pavement system, you have to juggle the dollars to keep those good roads good, because, say, to crack seal and seal coat a road may take you $1 per square yard, whereas to overlay it and repave it, you're talking six times that.
Yeah.
And then to rebuild it, it's just another factor of 10. You're talking $60 to $100 just per 3 foot by 3 foot section. So you want to keep those good roads good. So when you see people working on those new streets saying, why are they spending their time on those new streets and not fixing the beat up ones? Well, to tell you the truth, we're trying to get all the money we can out of the beat up road, because it needs replacing no matter what.
So it comes down to stretching the limited funds that the town has and spending them wisely. And sometimes that means shelving some projects that that a lot of people really wish they could have.
Right. Yeah. So sometimes it actually makes money sense to let the bad roads get worse when you may not think of it in the first blush. Because right now, like I said, we get about $500,000 a year for road maintenance. In a perfect world with our size of roads, I'd probably want $3 million or more to keep the roads in good condition.
So you get $500,000. If you were to take a down and dirty primitive road, tore up dirt, and bring it to really nice smooth pavement where I want to ride my big street bike on without getting the paint dinged up, how far distance wise can you go on a primitive road with $500,000 as opposed to maintaining an already decent road to keep it up to standard? I want the listeners to kind of know the difference in what the town can accomplish with those limited funds.
Yeah, maybe to rebuild a street completely, I'm figuring $1 million to $3 to even $6 million a mile, depending on the road. But
a mile. With
$500,000, you get maybe a city block.
You could throw a rock farther than you can build up a road. Now,
a couple football fields.
Okay. Well, Bill can throw a rock pretty far. What can you do distance wise on an existing road just in maintenance with that same money?
I'd have to look at my numbers, but maybe up to a mile of that road.
Okay.
So it's a factor of 10 to almost 100
sometimes.
Nice.
So by analyzing the roads, the current condition, and what's already on the surface, and then applying our limited funds to that, it's a formula to figure out what can we get the most of our dollar with. And that's one of the issues that a lot of the public doesn't necessarily see without attending our meetings and without sitting down and talking with our town leadership, is the struggle to spend money wisely as opposed to putting a Band-Aid on something and having to put another Band-Aid on in another couple of years and then redoing that Band-Aid over and over. So really, if you as a listener are concerned about how the money's spent, it's a very good idea to show up at our meetings, dialogue with our town leadership, not just our elected officials, but also our department heads, and really find out how those priorities are set, and offer your opinion too. They're always looking for input from the public. Again, those meetings, study sessions are held off weeks, like tomorrow night's dealing with that animal code. But the second and fourth Tuesday at 6 p.m. at Town Hall are when you can sit in on those open to the public council meetings, which we will be having not tomorrow, but the following week. We'll be right back with our public works director after these words and a little local news as well. We'll be right back.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service Sales and Rentals, and we're proud to have been chosen one of the top 50 RV dealerships in North America. We're located at Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69, Prescott Valley in Dewey, and online at AffinityRV.com. Affinity
RV, bringing family and lifestyles together.
You know those families who quietly enjoy the holidays? Me neither. Well, until thecompanystore.com. Now the kids love playing Hotel Auntie Carol in the good sheets, as they call them. They actually want to go to bed. So we get some adult time, and that's worth giving thanks.
Thecompanystore.com has been perfecting the ultimate comforts of home for over 100 years, from the finest quality bedding and bath to home decor and more. Order between October 1st and 30th to get 25% off plus free shipping with our friends and family discount. Visit thecompanystore.com and enter the code FAMILY.
Hey everybody, it's Sanford Cohen. Join me along with Mike and the Doctor every Friday afternoon at 4 for Let's Talk Sports right here on the Talk of the Quad Cities KQ&A. Tune in for all the latest sports news, interviews, and all kinds of fun stuff. It's right here on KQ&A. See you Friday.
Like a trusted friend, the Breast Care Center at YRMC is here for you. Compassion, support, strength. These are the qualities you look for in a trusted friend. These are also the same qualities you will find at the Breast Care Center at YRMC in Prescott Valley. State-of-the-art diagnostic tools, expert care coordination, health education, and support programs are only the beginning. They're combined with a compassionate, caring staff and a private, warm, and comfortable environment. We even have an on-site patient navigator whose focus is to help you with every step of your healthcare decision-making. Choose the Quad City leader for advanced breast care services, including digital mammography, breast MRI, and ultrasound. The Breast Care Center at YRMC, your trusted friend in healthcare. Call 442-8900 or visit yrmc.org.
We're KQ&A.
Good afternoon, and thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, your choice for your Monday. I'm Link Elliott with a check of news and weather together on Talk of the Town, brought to you by Affinity RV. A 19-year-old Prescott woman has been seriously injured after she was hit by a car. The accident occurred just before 6 Friday morning.
Officers ultimately learned that Abigail Pescatori was crossing Whipple Street at Roo Street. Audra Moreno, a 39-year-old woman from Paulden, driving a 2006 sedan, was also on Whipple Street traveling westbound and struck the pedestrian.
Prescott Police Officer David Fuller says the accident caused a road closure.
The intersection was closed while emergency personnel could render aid and members of the Prescott Police Department Traffic Safety Section could properly investigate the accident. The roadway was later reopened at approximately 10 a.m.
Pescatore was taken to the Yavpai Regional Medical Center before being flown to a Phoenix area hospital. Based on evidence gathered at the scene, it doesn't appear Pescatore was in the dedicated crosswalk. The Prescott Police Traffic Safety Section is investigating the crash. For more information on the story, log on to KQNA.com and click on the link to Prescott E-News. The Arizona Cardinals beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 38-33 yesterday afternoon. The Cardinals are off to London to take on the Los Angeles Rams this Sunday morning, and all the live action can be heard starting at 9:30 on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA. 29 artists have submitted proposals for a memorial to the Granite Mountain Hotshots.
The Granite Mountain Hotshots Memorial Partnership has reviewed all proposals and has begun the process of communicating with and interviewing artists for clarification and further review of submissions. No final determination has been made in regard to the memorial or the artists to be interviewed. The memorial will be located on the Courthouse Plaza in downtown Prescott. The Granite Mountain Hotshots Memorial Partnership is an independent organization that has a mission of creating a lasting memorial to the 19 Hotshots who lost their lives fighting the Arnell Hill Fire on June 30, 2013. I'm Bill Monroe reporting.
Taking a look now at your KQNA weather. Mostly clear tonight, sunny tomorrow, mostly sunny and cool on Wednesday. Expect an overnight low of 47 tonight in the Prescott area, with a high of 79 tomorrow and a high of 76 on Wednesday. 49 degrees tonight for Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, with high on Tuesday of 90 and high on Wednesday of 87. Talk of the town will continue after this. I'm Link Elliott for the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM. KQ&A.
Do you want a chance to win a free lunch at Prescott Brewing Company? Just check our website or follow us on Facebook to find out this week's lucky lunch letters. We draw them every Friday, and if the letters we draw match your first and last name initials, yay, you win a free lunch the following Tuesday. Or find out the old-fashioned way. Just pick up the phone and call us at 771-2795. Prescott Brewing Company, your small town feel with a big world taste in the heart of downtown Prescott.
A warranty forever. Yes, you heard that right. Hi, folks. It's Danny Sampson here at Little Dealer Little Prices RV in Prescott Valley. You know, RV manufacturers only offer a 1 or 2 year warranty at most. Little Dealer Little Prices is the only dealer in Arizona offering a forever warranty. That's right, a lifetime warranty at no extra charge to you. Now, that's peace of mind. Come see why Little Dealer Little Prices is the dealer that sells more towable RVs than any other dealer in the state. Located at Highway 69 and Truewood Drive in Prescott Valley. Little Dealer Little Prices. Big on selection, really big on saving you money.
The long and winding road.
Remember that thing called curb appeal? That's exactly what Prescott Dirt gives you. No, we're not talking about dirt. We're talking about beautiful flagstone or paver walkways that lead to your door. I'm Sam from Prescott Dirt, and we are now the only retail outlet in northern Arizona of beautiful Pioneer pavers for your yard, patio, or walkway. See our displays of Pioneer pavers at both our Prescott and Prescott Valley locations, and we'll rock a new look for your landscape. See for yourself at PrescottDirt.com.
Hi, this is Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. People ask me, Dave, why do you do those radio commercials yourself? For three generations, my family's been providing comfort through clean burning propane in Yavapai County. I wouldn't want a stranger to tell you about our commitment to the community, our hometown values, or how we spent 67 years working to make life better for folks. Anyway, thanks for listening. You can find out more at BarrettPropane.com. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQNA. Once again, here's your guest host for today's show, Matt Santos.
Hey, that's me again. I'm still here. They haven't kicked me out yet. Want to remind everybody, we've mentioned it a few times in this hour, but I want to do so again because it is such a passionate topic for many of you out there listening. A study session Tuesday, October 17th at 6 p.m. at Town Hall 202. North Highway 89 in Chino Valley. That is when the council and police department, along with many from the public, will be discussing and listening about the Ordinance 17-834, commonly known as the Animal Code. This is being revamped and amended, and before it goes into public record, it will be discussed and discussed and then discussed again before reaching the regular council meeting, which hopefully it will be in a week or so. But tomorrow night will be a study session discussing that animal code. So if you are concerned over the rights and of animal owners or animal custodians or animals in general and want to know exactly what will be required of you as a pet owner, what will not be allowed, what will be allowed, all that good stuff, show up tomorrow night, 6 p.m., October 17th, at Town Hall, where they will be discussing the animal code, and you can hear it firsthand and not rely on that famous rumor mill that runs rampant through the town of Chino Valley. Also, upcoming with the Chino Valley Chamber of Commerce will be October 24th. Again, mark your calendars. October 24th at 11:15 a.m. is the October Women in Business Luncheon, and this will feature our very own town manager, Cecilia Gritman, who will be the featured speaker. So show up October 24th at 11:15. That will be at the Phippen Museum on Highway 89 in Prescott, but advanced reservation is required. So get a hold of the Chino Valley Chamber of Commerce at chinovalley.org for more information. Again, that is Cecilia Gritman, our very own town manager, the featured speaker at the October Women in Business Luncheon. ChinoValley.org for more information. It's always a good time at those luncheons. I'm not a woman and I'm not in business, but they let me show up anyway. It's a lot of fun. So make plans to show up October 24th, where you can hear from Cecilia Gritman. But right now, we're going to hear more from our Public Works Director, Frank Marbury, Huntsville native, and now Public Works Director and engineer, but not driving a train. What do we got on tap for your department? What are some upcoming projects that we can look forward to seeing?
Well, the big one we've got coming up is next month we're going to start. You're going to see us moving some dirt, start working on a road. I call it the roundabout without the end on it that's got the close sign on it on the south end of town. It's I believe it's Kalinich Road, if I'm saying it correctly.
That is just past the 4 South Windy Plaza roundabout.
Right.
That's the one hovering around Horses with Heart, which a lot of folks are familiar with, that the Chamber is deeply involved with as well, and the Chino Valley Golf Range right in that general area. So what's going to be happening out there? You said some dirt moving around with what eventual goal?
We're going to connect Road 1 East, starting on the north side at 3 South, and then run 1 East all the way down to that road with a few connector roads in between. So that's part of the agreement when ADOT did some of the work on 89. We're going to be finishing that up. Go into the springtime, so it won't be quick. No construction is, but it should be painless because it's a new road that hasn't been there before.
And that, like you said, it won't be quick, but this is a project that's been in discussion and in planning for quite some time. A lot of folks are looking forward to that because it gives another artery on that east side of town to get to the highway and avoid some of that congestion that we see specifically in the mornings when you're trying to get from the east side onto the highway heading south into Prescott. Can be a little tricky at some of the intersections and a little bogged down at some of the lights. This will give folks another outlet to go in and out of town. So you're thinking springtime will be opening time for that, or is it still kind of in the planning stages?
Probably into spring, maybe early summer, depending on how you look at it as far as getting a surface on there. So we'll see. We're going to do some of the work with town forces trying to save money. Uh-huh. And then we'll bring in a contractor to pave it out and we'll chip seal it.
Yeah,
is what the surface of that road's going to be. So we'll add to our chip seal miles.
Yeah. nice. So nice to have another outlet, another access point for the highway. Hopefully it'll alleviate some of that congestion that we do see. We don't see huge like you would in a metro area, but it still can add minutes or more to your commute, especially in the event of any emergency activity on the highway. Can really, really clog it down can affect the response times of our emergency first responders and things. So overall, a nice addition to our roads. One of the things that was different for me when I moved out here is having a state highway as pretty much our main street, a highway running through town. So your dialogue with ADOT, with state officials and county, seems to be an ongoing thing. You're in dialogue, you're in constant communication with both state and county, it seems like, huh?
It's pretty crucial. That's one of the advantages of coming from Kingman. We actually... Alvin Stump, the district engineer for ADOT, his district extends all the way to California now. Yeah. Through budget cuts, they redistricted. So I've been working with Alvin for a couple of years now and pretty good relationship. Some of the other guys up here in Prescott I'm getting to know, but what I hope is a good relationship with ADOT that I have, that we keep in contact, and you just have to work with ADOT and the county and even Prescott and Prescott Valley and the other metro governments around here, trying to develop those relationships and work with those guys. I can beg, borrow, and steal from them as much as I can, and they would do the same with me, hopefully.
So. Yeah, and that's real crucial. Again, coming from a larger metro area that I was used to, where it was the city kind of was its own entity, and then coming in and covering local politics and meetings, council meetings and things for Chino Valley, to see that partnership, to see the dialogue going on between the town, the county, with the face of Craig Brown, our supervisor, who attends most, if not all, of our meetings, and I see you talking with him a lot, and the state reps as well with ADOT. To see that communication, to see that cooperation is really crucial, like I said, especially with us in our main street, our main road being a state highway. It was eye-opening to me, and I don't think a lot of our listeners really appreciate the level of communication that has to happen when they see the highway out in front of, you know, Walgreens and Safeway. They just assume, well, it's running through town. The town must be in complete control of that, and we know that that's not necessarily true in a lot of aspects. I'm going to put you on the spot here, if I haven't already enough through this hour. Give me your impression on roundabouts, on traffic circles. We know that's a hot topic with a lot of folks because they are fairly new to our area. But what are the engineering aspects of traffic circles, of roundabouts, as opposed to a four-way stop?
Right, well... And some people may be disappointed, but I'm, like you can probably tell with Alvin, a fan of roundabouts. Mainly when you look at the safety statistics, it's just hard to argue that they almost eliminate fatalities.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at a traffic light and then you're putting in a roundabout that can probably handle twice as much traffic as that light, and then you're eliminating or almost eliminating fatalities. It's hard to argue that, even though they're unusual and you've got to be courteous to make them work is the big thing.
I am in the minority, I'm sure, because I kind of like them. I like the way that it helps traffic flow. I like the fact that you have to slow down to get into them. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't accidents. Whenever I've had this discussion with people, that I don't mind them, and I like them more than a four-way electric signal. Without doubt, somebody will say, well, there's this article where somebody overturned, they flipped, they did whatever. Well, yeah, But I don't think that person that was involved in that accident was approaching it in a safe and legal manner, is usually my response.
And sometimes the number of accidents actually do go up. They're just small sideswipe fender benders.
Yeah.
And so that's the key to the good engineering, is finding the right design and the right, using the right tool in the right place at the right time.
And the cost, overall long-term cost of putting them in and maintaining them, seems to be better financially for the highways, as opposed to dealing with the long-term effects of a four-way stop and signals and things. So unfortunately, for those of you that don't like them, it looks like traffic circles and roundabouts are here to stay, and we may in fact be seeing more of them. But again, that's usually an ADOT, a state-level decision. So if you don't like them, I'm sure Frank would be happy to give you Alvin's phone number if you want to discuss them. Well, we have come to a close of another hour on KQ&A and Talk of the Town. Frank, thanks for sitting down. We will be back with a few closing thoughts in just a couple of minutes after these final words from our sponsors. Thanks for tuning in to Talk of the Town on 1130 AM, 99.9 FM.
Rebates? Rebates?
What's the matter, Adam? Got a frog in your throat?
No, Lennox and Gettles are giving our listeners up to $2,000 in rebates now through November at Gettles High Desert Mechanical.
Well, they're going to have to buy a qualifying home comfort system.
To get their rebates? Rebates?
0% financing is available, too, up to 12 months.
Rebates? Rebates?
Oh, brother.
That's me. Rebates.
Call Gettles now for rebates on Lennox. That's G-O-E-T-T-L-S for heating, cooling, and now plumbing. Don't settle. Get Gettles.
The friendliest place to dine on Highway 69. The food is so divine.
The Augie's family.
The wait staff is delightful. They're fast and so insightful. You're sure to end the night full.
The Augie's family.
So do yourself a favor. Have dinner with your neighbor. We've got your favorite flavor.
The Augie's family.
In 1916, Auto Owners Insurance teamed up with local independent agents so customers could get fast, friendly, local service.
Bravo!
It worked so well, we decided to keep it that way. And 100 years later, we still do things the same way. By teaming up with local independent agents who deliver quality, personal service.
Thank you!
Some might call that old school. But then again, maybe everything old is new again. Kind of refreshing, isn't it?
This is Susan Morrison. Give us a call at 445-4600. Your locally owned and operated House Chilson Insurance.
Is your advertising being noticed? Getting the right attention means getting the right business. At A&E Reaper Graphics, we focus not only on customer service, but also highest quality printing and design that is sure to catch the eye. A&E Reaper Graphics knows how to design, print, and deliver what you're looking for in your time frame. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us on our website, or call 442-9116. That's 442-9116.
Scare up a good time at Cliff Castle Casino's Rock and Roll Halloween Weekend starting Friday, October 27th with the Halloween Cash Coffin. Earn entries all month for a chance to win. Over $35,000 in cash and prizes are available, including a $10,000 cash prize at 11:30 p.m. On Saturday, the area's best costume contest starts at 7 p.m. with over $3,500 in cash prizes. The party continues on Sunday with hot seats and a free show with Kiss Army and the Dragonfly Lounge at 7 p.m. Visit CliffCastleCasinoHotel.com for details.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your guest host for today's show, Matt Santos.
Well, thank you for tuning in. You have spent another hour listening to me jabber on KQ&A's Talk of the Quad Cities. Talk of the Town, brought to you by the Chino Valley Chamber of Commerce. Each and every Monday, you can hear Chino Valley Talk, and you can hear me once a month on 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM. All the information on the Chino Valley Chamber is at chinovalley.org, and for the town, chinoaz.net. Thank you, Frank Marbury, for sitting in and talking with us. Thank you to the lovely and talented Bill Monroe for making sure you can hear us, and we will talk at you soon.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by Augie's Restaurant, Prescott Dirt, A&E Reaper Graphics, House Chilson & Associates, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, Barrett Propane, Janessa's Family Hair Care, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. The views on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.